Caulfield, real one. Can you tell me where you were born?
Aston, Birmingham.
Uh-huh. And what did your father do?
He was a racecourse bookmaker.
Was he? Uh-huh. And how many children were there?
Eight.
Eight? And where did you come in the scheme of things?
I'm the Bubba, the youngest.
You're the youngest of eight, yeah. Yeah. And were they all boys or...?
One, two, three girls. Four girls, four boys.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And where did you go to school?
Elliot Street, E-L-I-O-T. Oh, you don't know that. Yeah, Elliot Street, Aston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you stay there till you left school, did you?
Yes, yeah.
And what age was that?
14.
Uh-huh. And did your mother go out to work?
Not really, not in those days. She had her hands full with it. Keeping the family alive.
I think she did, yeah. So were times hard?
Pardon? Times were very, very hard. Very hard. We're talking about cardboard in the shoes and Dalimal boots and clothes and the soup kitchen coming round, the, what they used to run that round now, Salvation Army, they used to send a wagon round like, and everybody's rushing out with a bowl to get free soup, like, that kind of a dish. But real poverty struck, real hard times. No money. Permanent way of life, like, you know. And it caused a lot of drunkenness, you know, when they did get a few bobby, there was fights, you know, there was the animosity, like, you know, and it got more than the other, and it caused a lot of ill feeling, like, if you rose above the ordinary people, that's... what's he doing?
And did your father travel around different race courses?
Yes, different race courses.
Did he make a good living at it all?
Well, it was a golden guinea a day then, like a day, which was good money, I suppose. Yeah, he was tic-tac man as well, you know. That.
Yeah.
So, but he was a little, I don't know whether I should say this, but he was... He never used to bother about money. When he got it, he'd spend it, so he was back to square one all. But he did earn reasonable good money, yes.
Did you enjoy your childhood?
I can't say I did not. I said it was very hard, but I think on the whole I did enjoy it, yeah.
And what did you do, sports or anything when you were at school?
Football, love football. Boxing, any boxing or anything like that.
You were quite a sporty.
I like, you know, cricket and, well, not particularly cricket, but football in particular.
Yeah. And you're quite tall, aren't you?
6 foot.
Yeah. So when you left school, what did you want to go and do? Did you have any ambitions?
Not really. My mother used to get me out on working, you know, straight away because I needed the money.
And what did you go to do?
Assembly. I always remember my first day because I was GC down Aston. And I said, what have I got to do to this, you know, discharge? And he said, you've got to go along and tighten all those old bars up. So I've gone all the way along, conscientious. I said, what shall I do now? He said, unscrew them again. It was just, because the gaffer was, you should be on a bandstand and he could see, you've got to make believe you was, even if you, you know. It was only 9 and 6 a week, 47 and a half pence. Like. Yeah.
What were you actually making? What were they making?
Obart, like, for different machinery, like, you know, Obart.
And how long did you stay there?
14, about 16, then I went to Johnny Wright's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Assembly gas fires, like. Assembly gas fires. That was a good job. £2.50 or something. In the money now. So times have started to look up.
Yeah. And you were still living at home, were you?
Still living at home, yeah.
So did you have any ambitions that, you know, anything you wanted to do or?
I don't think we ever thought we was ever going to climb out of the pit. You thought this was a way of life, like, and you accepted it. Now, with the conditions that are at present, it makes you think, Why didn't I try? Yeah, it was that things were that bad. Yeah. It wasn't no escape routes, really. Mm. It wasn't no, like, apprenticeships and all that, but I don't know. And I never fancied being locked up. Mm. I couldn't bear the four walls, you know. I hated his factory work. Mm. So when I did go in the army, in a lot of ways, I didn't want to come back into the, you know, the workaday routine.
So did you join the TA or the Home Guard or
No.
So you were called up, were you?
Conscripted, yeah.
Yeah. So what were your feelings when you got called
up? I was glad to go. Actually, I was working for Johnny Rice, and the day Hitler invaded Poland, which was on the Friday previous to the day war broke out, I thought, oh, great, I took my job. I wanted to go. I felt full of, you know, you get these false ideas till you're actually there and you're amongst it. Like which is not necessarily a patriot, but look forward. I thought, well, there's nothing to lose. Like, it was grim surroundings anyway. What are we going to lose? I know I like my army years.
So where did they tell you to report to?
Forward Barracks, Preston, I can always remember this.
Forward Barracks, Preston.
Which we only stayed for, perhaps 24 hours, and then they took us to Ballykinla Camp, Northern Ireland. I was in there all these few days.
Right, so when you went to Preston, did you go up on the train?
Yes, yeah.
What was that journey like? Was there lots of other people going?
Oh, lots of other people heading that way, yeah, a lot of Brumbies.
And what was your reception like? Did they meet you at the station?
Marched us in trucks, took us to the barracks, mm-hmm. clocked us all in and took all our particulars. And the next day we was off again.
Right, and you went to where?
Ballykinla.
Yeah.
That's right.
Please.
Ballyboy.
Yeah.
Kinlar. Ballykinla Camp.
Right.
Northern Ireland.
So then you joined the Irish Fusiliers?
Irish Fusiliers, 1st Battalion, yeah.
Right. And what was it like? What sort of a camp was it?
It was a proper military camp. It wasn't, you know, there was like a normal peacetime camp like it.
It was brick built, was it?
Brick built, yeah.
So what was your reception there? Because now you suddenly got a regiment, hadn't you?
Yeah.
So were you met by a sergeant? And
that's right. We started our first marching experiences, like, you know.
Yeah. How did you get on with that?
I didn't like the Irish shouting at me all the while, but that was that's the way of life in the army. You get used to it. But when you first go in, you're tempted to hit back, like, you know, with a shouting at you all the while. And I'm a standing on your ear and all that. You know all that. You've heard that one. So I liked it. I liked it on the old.
What was that first night in Northern Ireland like? Because you all put in, were you all together, those that had come
different,
to Preston?
Different places, different huts, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you got all your uniform and everything, had you?
Yes. Well, they issued us with it the next day, you know. Guess the air weights. Guess the, you know, if you was 6 foot, you'd got to be 20 stone. So everything was out there, you know. They threw it at you, you've got to put it right, like, you've got to adjust it.
Yeah.
To
so you started your training and you did the square bashing.
Square bashing, yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah. And what about fitness?
I won. I'm pretty fit. You kept you fit, like. You know.
And then you did PT, did you?
PT. You said the mountains of Mourne was within view of the camp. Before breakfast, they'd run us down there into the sea, swimming, then run us back again, like that. And we'd done a lot of, I'd say mostly square bashing for the first 6 weeks, I think it was.
And did you do weapons training?
Yes, yeah.
Bring which weapons?
Brain gun, rifle, PS, that's an anti-tank gun. That tells you all the weapons, like whether... You know, whether you was going into that particular branch or not, they taught you that it was all. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And did you do any sort of battlefield training, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it.
They used
to get schemes, you know, like, that give you an enemy, like, you know, our own troops, obviously, the enemy, and the kind of conditions you'd... I'm going to jump the gun here a bit. It got to the stage where it was muck battle. They fired live ammunition at you. This was towards about 1943, 44. And then they... 42, I should say. He went on to barbed wire. And you had to lay on barbed wire while people ran over. All that... The kind of conditions you would encounter if you was in real battle.
Right. Yeah. So in Northern Ireland, you did your basic training. Basic training. Basic battlefield and everything. How did you get on with all this? Were you a good shot?
No, on the whole, it didn't worry me, you know, and I'm feeling better for it, you know. I mean, definitely, the food for me was marvellous, like,
was it?
Yeah.
Did everybody settle down to it as well as you did, or did some people find it, you know?
I think some people found it a bit tough, but, I don't know, it didn't get to me in any way, like, you know.
So, were there many Irish people in the Irish
fusiliers? There was, wartime, there was a mixture of Londoners mostly, Birmingham, Brummies, and Irish. There's about a third of each.
And how did you all get on? Did you all mix in well?
I mix in well, yeah. Mm. We've still got that little, the Fenians and all. Well, you know, the battles they have between them, like, you've still got soldiers like that, you know, that opposing each other. Mm. Yeah.
So, did you have any special friends there?
Later on, I made more friends actually when I was abroad. And, you know.
Right.
We had
so, how long were you at Ballykinla?
6 months. Uh-huh. About 6 months.
So you did your basic training and then you went on.
And there was a big parade, like, under the regimental sergeant major, a fellow called Keenan. He was the youngest sergeant major in the British Army.
Was he?
And the band, and the passionate parade, like, you know, it was glamorous, like, all the uniforms. Well, I hadn't got a uniform, but the sergeant major had to get all the black and the red stripes, like, you know. And that was uplifting somehow. I found that, you know, the music and the, you know, I had a false idea of what I was going into.
So after you'd done your basic training, you stayed on there. So how did the training change then?
It got tougher. Whereas it was just route marches. Well, they'd march at 20, 25, 26, 28 mile a day with all your full kits, like, you know, rest every so often to march. But it got... Montgomery took over in the desert by this time, and he was insisting that although he went abroad, all British Army training and would consist of doing everything that they would encounter, like climbing ropes over, doing running over poles with the water underneath you, swinging across the river. Job climbing over walls with all your kits and your rifle. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to a salt camp at Paisley.
Uh-huh.
There was an assault, but they call it an assault camp there.
Oh, yes, yeah. How long were you there for?
This was only to do the... for the day, like, just,
oh, right.
Just to do the...
you went over to Scotland for a day.
Yeah.
Right, and that was from Northern Ireland, was it?
No, that was... Paisley was, we'd moved forward by then.
Oh, right, okay, well, we'll come to that. So, when you were in Northern Ireland at Ballykinla, did you mix with the local people at all? Did you get to know them?
Well, it was a bit isolated, the camp. It's miles from a place, because the nearest place was Downpatrick, because you had no transport.
Yeah.
So there was nowhere to go, really. That's enough,
yeah.
You know.
That's what you did in your
spare
time.
That's more or less. And you should get one or two ENSA artists, you know, to come in there.
Yeah. And did you enjoy it at Northern Ireland?
Yes. Yeah, you know. And I want Piney to get home, like, you know.
What had your mother thought of you joining the army?
Oh, she died by then.
She died.
I was 13,
yeah.
Yeah. My dad and my brothers, I thought, you know, I think it was a little bit proud of me. Like,
had any of your other brothers gone in the army?
No, no, it was all too old. All too old. It wasn't old enough.
Yeah, yeah. So after Ballykinler, where did you go then?
Ballykinler camp. Went to so many places. Because by this time, the water got into its full stride. We went down to the invasion. You know, the invasion period, 1941, that was when we did the invasion. And we was a place, what's the name of the some sands? Down in Rye, near Rye.
So you went from Ireland to
Rye.
Yeah.
We was like the frontline troops. If he had invaded, this is where he would invade, where we were down, that area. Like,
you know. Yeah. Mm.
So we was like more or less doing, though we was abroad, like in digging trenches and taking positions up in case the Germans landed.
So you were near Rye, were you?
Yeah.
You were guarding there.
Cambersands, that's the place.
So you were guarding Cambersands, were you?
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. And you were dug in trenches, were
trenches
you?
Trenches and basically like that. Okay, see, the time of the invasion, like, you know, when they was expecting him, he cancelled it, but they didn't know he was going to cancel it.
Yeah.
And we see the bombers going over, hundreds of bombers heading for London. Like, you know. I remember that.
So you felt you were actually sort of in the war, really?
Yes. This was more like we're expecting the invasion. Like, this is more as life as we would get to know. Yeah.
So you were in trenches guarding Cambersands. So what sort of periods of duty would you do there? Were you staying there permanently, or?
I was a permanent fixture for a while.
Didn't go back to barracks.
Didn't go back to barracks now. No. Then we went to Clacton as well. Butlin's camp. We were stationed there. They got the barbed wire up there. It was different than Colchester. I remember going to Colchester.
Yeah. And were you doing training as well at this time?
This was all the while, I was in the infantry, so it was all training. Like, yeah.
Do you remember any of the large schemes you did?
Yes, there was one up in Scotland. I think it was Dryshed, it was called. But I know we went 2 or 3 days without food. They really, like, out in the rain, you really was, though he was actually in combat.
Mm.
And that went on for 4 or 5 days, dry shed.
Yeah. And what sort of things, you know, did you know what the scenario was of the scheme? Did they explain to you?
No, not in those days. They just plunked you somewhere and, you know. The army now, they inform you, but then nobody comes to tell you anything. Like, what are we doing here and why you're here? Nobody just comes to explain that.
Yeah.
No. I found that the difference in that and what they do now is totally different.
Yeah.
They know where they're going now, the troops. I mean, we'd set out and nobody told us anything. All we know, we marched somewhere and that's it.
Do you remember any of the NCOs?
Yes. One in particular, the regimental, they got their own MP. His name was Smudger Smith. He was a real bee. You know, like if he was out walking down, say, like, for example, I was in Watford once. I was walking through the streets with this girl. If you hadn't got your top button done up and you was, you know, absolutely spot on, you'd pull her up and make you look, you know, and you'd eat him with your girlfriend, like, you feel the right. Bird. But he was, funnily enough, he lost his arm, his hand, in Tunisia. And I've often wondered if it was done on purpose.
So do you remember any of the sergeants you had? Or?
Yeah, that is. He was one Sergeant Smith, Sergeant Penn. He still lives in Birmingham. Was the cross country running with? What was his running name? Can't remember. You walk out this door, I shall remember it.
Yeah. And how did you get on with the corporals? Did you? Were they sort of
They were all like bombastic, if you for want of a better word. Like, you know, you just learn to accept it. By that time, you realise you can't beat the system, so you start to integrate a little bit, you know.
Did you ever get into trouble?
Yes, a couple of times. Once when the war was over, I was in Calais, and I picked this young girl up, and I took her into the, was the station in the town hall in Calais, and I took her in with me into the room where we were, and this side, a corporal came over, fuck his name, and he said, get her out, you know, and his attitude, if he said to me, use your love, Ali, get her out, or to get her out, but his attitude, and he'd just come out from England as well, wish I thought, well, you know, so I bashed him, and I finished up with 50 days. Oh, and there was one other occasion. I flogged an army blanket when I was in Tunisia. So, and there was a lot of it going on the big scale. Mine was nothing like, you know, I'm talking thousands and thousands of pounds was fiddled then. And
how much did you get for your blanket?
I can't remember. Whatever their currency was. Oh, the French currency. But, I got full punishment for it in the full punishment camp, which means 2 hours every day, you're marching with your pack, the sun's up, then bang, left turn, right turn, left turn, keeping you like keeping you left turn, a bad turn, halt, order rifle, you know, keeping at you like that for quite a while. We had a sergeant with us there. We called him Bee's Knees, but I can't remember. I can't remember his other name. But that was the two occasions, main occasions, I got into trouble. On the whole, I kept my nose clean pretty well.
So right back to the UK. So you stayed on. Went to Butlins at Clacton and Colchester.
Yeah, Colchester. So many little places we went to, you know. I said, before we went abroad, they took us up Scotland for training. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to jump the gun up to that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I transferred up to Scotland, a place called Cumnock, Hockinleck, around that area. Yeah, we'd done a lot of training on the hills. We didn't realise yet they were training us for, because Tunisia, same hilly country, similar to Scotland. So those trainers,
right,
to get used to that kind of atmosphere. That was coming. I had a little bit of trouble there, but that was Cumnock. Oh, that's where I went to Paisley from. Cumnock,
oh,
and
yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was where I went to Paisley.
So tell me about the Paisley assault camp. What was that like?
It was very tough. And then I liked doing it.
Yeah.
I liked
doing
it.
What did they have you doing exactly?
When you start off with your rifle, you've come to brick wall. You've got your rifle, you've got your pack on. You've got to get over that, climb over that best way you can. And they're shouting at you all the while. Like the corporals are running along like, go, corporal, get me, you know, keep it aggravating. Then you come up rope, you climb up a rope, and you swing across a river, or that for some kind of water. Then they'd have a round pole, over a ditch, full of water. You got to run across that quick as you can, or else down to the drink you went. And then they could barbed wire up like that, flat like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you just have to crawl under that, and they'd fire live ammunition, not at you, but to get you used to what it would be like when you come under fire. Yeah, and that was a bit air-raising, like, as you could work your way through, then where would you then? I think that was about the end of it, after you'd done that.
Yeah.
But it was tough, because you're carrying all the equipment.
Yeah.
Easier.
You managed that all right?
Managed that all right.
Did some people fall out? Did some people not cope with
it? One or two couldn't quite make it, couldn't, you know. No, I was pretty good at that, pretty, you know. I look forward to it, actually. I look forward to that.
Yeah. So, after, how long did you stay at the assault camp?
That was only a day.
Oh, yeah.
Like we went from Cumnock.
Yeah.
Went from Cumnock to do the assault course and back to Cumnock again.
Yeah.
See, a lot of those things get a bit daisy with the passage of time. The sequence of events.
That's okay. So, from you stayed in Scotland for a while then, did you?
Quite a while, yeah. It was there. We went abroad in 1942.
Yeah.
About 12 months, I would think. 12 months since, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your favourite weapon? What were you best at?
The Bren gun, I was good on that. 3-inch mortar. Mm-hmm. 3-inch, I was in the 3-inch mortars for a while. That was a rather peculiar thing there. When you put the bomb down the doors, they used to teach you, if it don't come out, if it don't, to stand clear for a bit, so you'd need telling to do that, and then go down and you've got to chip the barrel up like that. they still use it, so it's more to actually.
So how difficult are they to fire? How many people does it take to...
Two. One end of the base plate down. Mm. One that sit and in the bum up and the other place it in.
Mm.
Two of you. Everything is to cut about a big base plate. They're very, very heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. To cart about.
And how did they teach you about, trajectory and,
I rate of trajectory, obviously, because a mortar bum... Whereas a shell will go like that, a mortar bomb will go over.
Yeah.
And you could always tell the difference between a mortar. A mortar, you'd do boom, quick. Whereas a shell, you'd hear the bump, and it's longer coming over.
Mm.
That was to get like, if they was like in behind, the mortar actually was there. As you said, for our trajectory to get over houses or whatever, like.
Mm. So by the time you could have finished in Scotland, did you feel a really well-trained soldier? Were you raring to go? Or?
When you say raring to go, I hadn't met with the reality then. I felt kind of patriotic as though, I was full of the bull, really. I can't explain what I'm trying to say. I was glad. That's right. That's right. I had this patriotism which died a little bit after.
Were you following the progress of the war? Were you, listening to the radio or?
Oh yes.
Reading the papers.
Yeah. See what was. They got the special papers out there, the Stars, and that was the Yanks, Stars and Stripes. I forget what else it was called.
When you were at home in the UK, did you read the papers about what was happening?
Had
you any idea where you'd be sent?
No. We didn't even know when it was on the boat. We went from Scotland.
Right.
Well, no. So, big part of the convoy went from Scotland, but for some obscure reason, I don't know why, we went from Liverpool. But we didn't know, even when we got on the boat. It's only when we was miles out to sea that we knew our destination.
Right. Do you know the date that you set sail?
I can remember the ship, but I can tell you a story about that.
Yeah. do you know what sort of date it was?
1942, about November 42.
Right. Okay, I'll stop you there. Harry Caulfield, end of reel 1.